Okay, welcome everyone. This is John Gabriel with the Gabriel Method and the Gabriel Method Detox Program. And this is day five of our cleanse, the final day. And this webinar is about concluding the cleanse, how best to conclude the cleanse. And I'm joined with my good friend and colleague, Nadia Harper, a detoxification expert and Gabriel Method coach. Nadia, are you there?
I am here. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. The final day. Yay.
I know. We're getting lots of great comments. People are loving it. At this point, people know they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Some people are feeling fabulous. Some people are still struggling. It goes back and forth, and we'll try to answer everybody's questions. I'm on the final day of my cleanse, too, and I can feel that it's time. I've been hungrier this morning than I have been. I haven't been hungry the whole time I've been on the cleanse, pretty much. But I've been hungry this morning, and I've had probably three or four chia drinks with super greens. That's what I've been having. And I'll probably have that most of the day. And then tomorrow we'll have that live stream webinar where you can actually, participants can actually call in and talk to us. We'll have a couple of foods up here, and I'll break the cleanse right here live on national television. So it'll be very exciting.
Nice.
Good. So let's get to a couple of questions. We don't have too many questions. We might as well cover a couple of questions before we get into the webinar. So Dan, if you're there, we'll start taking some questions.
Hi, everybody. I'm here.
Hi, Dan. Hi. How are you?
Good, thanks. Okay, great. The first thing is it's been sort of a universal question. Could Nadia explain what green papaya is, and can they get it from their regular fruit and vegetable store?
Yeah, that's some time recipe of yours, Nadia. Everybody's asking about it. It's the talk of the forum right now.
Okay.
That's all so, everyone wants to talk about is sumtum right now. So.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's focused on food.
Yeah.
So green papaya is unripe papaya. So a ripe papaya is orange. Before it ripens, it's green. So if your grocer sells papaya, you just need to ask them if they can sell you an unripe one. And they might have them in the back. They might not have put them out on the shelf just yet.
Hmm. In Australia, I think we call them pawpaws. So if anyone isn't sure
That's
what
true.
A papaya is,
right.
Yeah. Okay. If green isn't available, what would you use? What could be used as a substitute?
Okay, so that sumtum recipe is just a suggestion. You certainly don't need to make that particular recipe to break your fast. I'm sure John and I will talk about some other ideas as well.
Sure.
That's just an option. If green papaya isn't available for you, you don't need to go to that recipe. You can break your fast with something else, a nice plate of cucumbers, or you know, we can talk about some other ideas too.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, but
Shane?
But
yeah, sorry.
Wait, let me just ask,
sorry,
Dan, yeah. could we use a ripe papaya for the recipe if we wanted to? Or no, you can't really grate a ripe papaya, can you? Is that what the issue
no.
is?
Yeah,
besides
once it's
too sweet?
Yeah, once it's ripe, it's a bit mushy, but ripe papaya is nice to break the fast. So if you've got a ripe papaya, you know, just cut that up, and that's a beautiful thing. Or make it into a smoothie with coconut water and chia
out.
Seeds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Shane Dell asks, would seaweed salad be okay for concluding the cleanse?
Nadia?
I think that sounds wonderful. Seaweed's a wonderful food. Just, you know, make sure you're using a really nice dressing with it, and that would be great, I think.
Yeah, specifically with the oil, if it's got an omega-3 component to the oil, like if it's chia seed, flax seed, or hemp seed. I do want to make a point, though, that we're not talking about the seaweed salad that you buy at sushi fast food restaurants that's iridescent green. I don't know if people have seen that one. Do you know the one I'm talking about, Nadia? Do you guys have that there? That kind of glow-in-the-dark green seaweed salad? They call it seaweed salad.
No, I've never seen that.
Yeah, so they have that in Australia, and they do have it in Japanese restaurants in the States. That's just loaded with chemicals. There's nothing that naturally occurs that's that kind of glow-in-the-dark green color. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about, you know what the ingredients are in your seaweed salad. That's an important point. But okay.
Okay, thanks. Anne asks, the first day post cleanse, I'm going out to dinner with an old friend. The answer to this is probably an obvious one, but I just wanted to know your thoughts on potentially having a glass of wine with dinner.
Yeah. Okay, Nadia.
Well, I think that it's probably best to wait some time, give your body some time to transition back into having more foods in your diet. You know, if you can hold off on it, it probably would be better. If you are going to have it, then, you know, drink lots of water so it's diluted. Drink lots of water with it and drink it very, very slowly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go on record and say that while Nadia is right, it's probably better not to have it. I would say if you're feeling like happy to order it, and just sip it. See what happens when you sip it. You might find as soon as you sip it that you're going to get the equivalent of two glasses of wine with one sip, and you're going to feel light. That I'm sure that's what's going to happen because your body is totally much more intolerant to alcohol. So your tolerance level is going way down. So if you just have a sip of it, you probably are going to get the desired effect. So have a lot of water with you, but enjoy yourself. Have a sip and see what happens. That would be my advice.
Okay
with that,
you.
Nadia?
Yeah. You know, definitely you want to listen to your body. And I'll just share a story with you guys.
Sure.
I've done a lot of cleanses, and a long time ago, I broke my cleanse not very well. And I did. I didn't follow any of the pre-cleansing suggestions, and I went very quickly into drinking some alcohol and having some other things that weren't so good. And what happened was I got very, very itchy all over my skin. And it did go away. You know, I kind of put myself back on very, very clean foods for a few days, and I did get my body back in balance. But it was very uncomfortable. And, you know, I just want to let people know that you are very sensitive after you break the fast. So you do certainly want to listen to your body and go very slowly if you can.
Yeah. Great advice.
Okay.
Okay.
Jolinda wants to know, is Truvia an acceptable sweetener?
Yeah. Okay, so Truvia is a combination of erythritol and stevia. So stevia, we all know, is a leaf extract, and stevia is an acceptable sweetener. It's actually the best sweetener. The only problem is it's got a little bit of a bitter aftertaste. Erythritol is a sugar alcohol like xylitol, and I like sugar alcohols in small quantities. Xylitol is getting a lot of bad press right now because of the way they manufacture it, that they're using GMO corn, and that they use nickel in the extraction process, and all these different things. I still like xylitol in small quantities mixed with other sugars. The erythritol is not getting that bad press, but it probably will at some point because it's a processed sugar. But it is a natural sugar, and if it's just those two ingredients, which I'm pretty sure it is, then it's not a bad sweetener at all.
It actually has a third ingredient on the package. Oh. The third ingredient is natural flavors, which I tend to be wary of. Yeah.
That's right. Very good point. We don't know what those natural flavors are, but that could be a concern. Yeah.
And another thing to keep in mind is stevia is a green plant. It's a green leaf plant. So when you open up Truvia, it's a white powder. So, you know, that just leads me to believe it's gone through some processing.
For sure.
Okay.
Really good point.
Yeah, thank you. Shanedale says, I'm on day 5 of the cleanse, and I'm finding that I don't really want to drink as much juice. Still drinking tea, water, broth, just not that hungry. I'm trusting this is okay. Also, will you address protein powders? I love my protein drinks, but stopped drinking whey as I felt bloated. Any other suggestions?
Okay,
and
let's
also,
start
she
with
just
the first
says,
one.
Okay, she just says a huge thank you, too, by the way, to you both.
Great. Thanks. You're most welcome. Okay, so let's start with the first question about, is it okay not to have a juice? Something
we've
talked a lot about.
Yeah, listen to your body, have what your body's asking for.
Yeah. So, and then as far as whey protein, you might want to try some of the vegetarian proteins that are based on fermented sprouts, like Sunwar's rice bran protein powder, for example, or hemp protein powder, and it may not bloat you the same way. I find whey also these days, unless it's made from organic grass-fed beef cows, then I do find that whey gives me a little bit of an upset stomach too. Hemp I find is much easier. So you might want to try that. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I agree. Brown rice protein, hemp protein.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's a question that's kind of a bit universal as well. When can everybody start having protein?
Okay, so protein you would want to have fairly soon in the first day, and we'll cover this. But animal protein might be a little bit hard to digest. So you might want to have animal protein the second or the third day. And you probably wouldn't want to have nuts that weren't soaked or sprouted in your first meal, but later in the day on your first day, it'd be good to have protein smoothies or protein or nuts and seeds and things like that. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, definitely. I think the very first food you put in your body, you want it to be very, very easy to digest. So you want to activate your digestive system with something very easy, high water content, maybe hold off on the protein that first meal. But later the first day, certainly the second day, you can move into proteins.
Yeah, and then animal proteins, second or third day. Well, we're going to cover that. But okay, Dan.
Okay, thanks. Suzanne says, is avocado a good replacement for papaya?
As so a first, if she, as a first meal, what do you
yeah,
think of that,
if,
Nadia?
If she's talking about the very first meal, I like to stay with the more higher water content fruits that first meal. I like to just really make it as simple as possible for the digestive system. So yeah. Things like papaya, melons, cucumbers, things that are really high in water. If she is really wanting an avocado, what I would suggest is to eat it very slowly and see how her body's reacting. With those more dense things like avocado or banana, sometimes you can get a little bit upset just because you haven't gotten those enzymes flowing just yet.
Yeah, your body's going to tell you as soon as you eat something, and take a bite of something, if it's right. Maybe revisit avocado later in the day or certainly the next day.
Right.
Okay. Deborah asks, should we be taking probiotics after the cleanse, and if so, how much?
Yeah, so my opinion about that is absolutely, because what's happened is you've killed off a lot of the unfriendly bacteria in your intestines. You basically starved them off. And so now there's an opportunity to repopulate your digestive tract with friendly bacteria. So I recommend that you take at least two, maybe three probiotics the first day and at least two probiotics for the following week. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I think probiotics are very, very helpful. So I would certainly recommend taking them.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. C. Walker says, what do you say about dark chocolate, 80%? There are lots of folks who say it is healthful. Is it better to just stick with just cacao? And also, what about red palm oil for stir fry? I find coconut oil gives too strong a flavor. And finally, thank you for an awesome method and all the amazing support from you both.
Great. Mm. Thanks. We'll take those questions one at a time. So the first question about the chocolate, what do you think about that?
I think that cacao is a wonderful replacement for processed chocolate. Of course, there's all levels of best, better, and best. If the 80% cacao is certainly going to be better than a candy bar that really doesn't have any real chocolate in it. But even cacao, like she even mentioned in her question, cacao is the raw form of chocolate, and that you can make. John talks about the biggest bang for your buck, and you can make some great tasting chocolate products with using raw cacao that really tastes just as good as anything else that you could buy, and you're getting all that nutritional value.
We did a video, in fact, on how to make raw chocolate using raw cacao, Dan, I'm not sure, maybe if you could just make a note, we'll post a link to where that video is, but it's so easy to make, and so I like raw chocolate that's sweetened correctly. So the problem with the 80% chocolate, it's not raw, which causes a lot of problems. It denatures the fats and then they no longer have health benefits. They've got a lot of drawbacks, and the sugar that they use is just sugar, and that's a problem. So a raw chocolate sweetened with coconut palm sugar, stevia, or one of the sugar alcohols like erythritol or xylitol, although I know they're getting bad press right now, it's still much, much better from a weight loss perspective. The raw chocolates, sometimes they sweeten raw chocolate with agave, and to me agave is also controversial a little bit in the terms of the processing, the way they process it. But you usually can find at a health food store raw chocolate sweetened with agave or coconut palm sugar. I'd prefer coconut palm sugar. If you make it at home, I would use coconut palm sugar. And we'll post that link. It's just so easy to make, and that's a really nice thing. And then you can put chia seeds in. You can flavor it how you want. We did one that I think we put a little bit of cayenne pepper and chia seeds in. It was really, really nice.
Oh, that is nice. And you're right. Yeah. It is really, really easy to work with. We use it a lot in our home. And once you get used to the product.
Yeah. All you have to do, you have to melt the coconut butter, the cocoa butter. You have to melt the coconut butter in a very light heat. And then you mix in the cacao and the coconut palm sugar and the chia seeds and whatever else you're putting in there, and then you refrigerate it for 5 minutes, and you've got amazing raw chocolate. It's unreal.
Yeah.
So that's the go for sure. Okay.
I'm a bit hooked on cacao nibs. I put them in my coconut yogurt with some berries. I love that.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, Sue has several questions. I'll ask the first question first. I have trouble coming up with breakfast ideas. I really feel the need for protein in the morning. My two mainstays are plain organic yogurt with berries and flax or chia seeds, which doesn't tend to keep me filled up for very long. and eggs with stir-fried vegetables. Do you have any suggestions? Yeah.
Before I turn it over to you, Nadia, the first thing I want to say is that, you know, we have it in our head that breakfast has to be a certain type of food, and that we have to eat something different for breakfast than other meals. And if you're looking for protein, I mean, look at all the other foods that you eat during the day. Why not have other animal proteins? There's nothing wrong with having a salad with chicken or fish or meat, and you know, first thing in the morning. So anything that you eat any other time, you can certainly eat for breakfast, and that has protein or whatever else that you're looking for. What do you think, Nadia?
I completely agree with that. Be very creative and get out of the conditioning that certain foods are for certain times of day only. And yeah. You know, for breakfast ideas, so take a look at the things that you have throughout the rest of the day. John, do you want to talk about some breakfast ideas?
Well, I mean, for me, I there's a couple of different things I do. Like I'll make a bowl of coconut yogurt with a little bit of protein powder and some chia seeds and some fruit and some nuts. That's called Johnny Chow, and you kind of make it your own, and that's a nice one. I make as far as breakfast type foods, I make really good banana and blueberry pancakes made out of chia bran, and that's really enjoyable. But I also have salmon, like a smoked salmon with salad that I'll wrap up in some seaweed and some nori rolls. That's a good one for me. I'll very often have eggs with lots of vegetables and salad. But then I'll have last night's leftovers of whatever chicken, fish, ground beef that I was having, something like that. Mix it with a big salad. So to me, there's really no rules with breakfast.
Yeah, all of those things you suggested are things that we have as well. Chia pudding is one that we have a lot in our home. You can prepare that, soak your chia seeds in almond milk the night before, and then in the morning add some berries to it. The salmon wrap that you mentioned, we have that too, and we wrap the salmon in a romaine lettuce leaf as the wrap.
Oh, yeah, right. Absolutely,
which is really nice. And then, you know, lots of things too, like veggies and dips. A lot of people think that that's sort of a snack food or an appetizer. That's a really, really nice breakfast. You can make a guacamole. Yeah. And then cut up zucchini, bell pepper, celery, and dip it right in the guacamole or hummus dip.
Yeah, and these days I'm a little bit organic when it comes to breakfast. I mean, I think it's important in the beginning when you're learning how to regulate your blood sugar to have a really, really good solid breakfast within an hour and a half of when you rise. But over time, as your blood sugar starts to stable and as you get healthier, you can be a little bit more organic in terms of how you regulate it. And so what I'll find is sometimes I'm really hungry in the morning, sometimes I'm not. A lot of times I have this snack that's made out of tahini and chia seeds, and maybe I might put some blueberries in there. It's just maybe a tablespoon or two of chia seeds and a tablespoon of tahini and some berries or something like that. And I might snack on that throughout, you know, have that every hour or something like that. Just kind of snack on that throughout the morning until I have a proper meal. That's something I frequently do.
Nice. That sounds nice.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. All right,
Sue also asks, I also find I'm not satisfied with just meat and vegetables at dinner. I want some potatoes, starch-like food. I don't need much, but I find I start looking for snacks in the evening when I just stick to vegetables. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, the first thing I say, that might be because you're not getting enough protein at breakfast. Because that'll kind of set your day up. Because if you're not getting enough protein at breakfast, you're going to get a low blood sugar experience around 11 o'clock or maybe 3 o'clock, which is going to cause you to eat something that's going to elevate your blood sugar again. And then by the time you get to dinner, you're having a low blood sugar experience again. And that low blood sugar experience is going to want you to have starch. The other reason is at the end of the day, we're stressed out, and stress causes junk food cravings. So one of the things you might want to do is in the afternoon, you might want to have a stress break around maybe 4 o'clock, something like that, where you listen to a visualization, go for a walk, do some light stretching, and have a snack. And then by the time you get home, you're calm, centered, and relaxed, and the stress and the exhaustion is not causing the starch and the sugar cravings. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, that is so important. What you eat throughout the day certainly sets up how your evening is going to be. So nourishing yourself throughout the day and keeping yourself balanced throughout the day will keep you in a balanced mode throughout the evening and keep those cravings at bay.
Yeah. So what I would say for starters...
Go ahead,
Nadia. Go ahead.
I was just going to suggest a nice idea that can kind of replace the idea of mashed potatoes is making a mash out of cauliflower.
Such a good idea.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's really, really simple. It's really just a matter of you take the head of cauliflower, chop it up, put it into your food processor, and then we add a few pine nuts and some good quality oil, and you just blend that up, and it comes out really nice and creamy. It's white, just like mashed potatoes, and it's really, really beautiful.
We also add some almonds and some tamari to that.
Yeah,
and
nice.
It comes out really that. What do you think about that as a break the cleanse type of food?
That would be nice.
Cauliflower mash, yeah. I think that would go down pretty easy. So cauliflower mash is a great way to give you that starch feeling. Great suggestion.
And if you're going to use it as your first meal, then just go easy on the nuts that you're putting in it. But
any oil also.
Yeah. But it is, yeah, very nice. Cauliflower is a wonderful food.
Yeah. Okay, good. Jen?
Sue's question also is chia bran is twice the price of product. Is twice the price because of freight, because she's in Canada. What could she use as a substitute until chia becomes more readily available?
I would look for flax meal and hemp meal. Just make sure it's exactly what I'm saying. It's not ground flax seeds and it's not ground hemp seeds. It's actually it should say right on the label that it's the remains of after you extract the oil. That's what's left. So it should just be fiber and protein. It should not have any oil in it. And give that a shot, and those can work pretty well sometimes too. Have you ever worked with those before, Nadia?
No, I haven't, but since we've been talking about them on this webinar, I'm excited to experiment with some of those things.
Cool. And do you use coconut flour? Because coconut flour is another thing that's very popular that people use instead of flour. What do you think of that?
I think people can experiment with that for sure. I really like the idea of the chia meal or the chia bran that you're talking about, and the hemp meal and the flax meal. I like the idea of those, so I'm excited to try those.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Paulette says, first of all, this program is phenomenal. I could never, and she's put that in capitals, have done this without your support, so thank you.
Great.
Day four, I feel fantastic. After 3 days of the challenge, today, not so good. Weak and no energy. Yesterday, I probably overdid it out doing errands and did not dress warmly enough. It's minus 28 degrees Celsius. You talk about the effect of the cold during a detox? Your advice, slow down, rest. Thanks.
Yeah. So if it's that cold, you need to be warm. You need to drink warm liquids, teas and broths more than cold juices. Your juices should be at room temperature. You should never feel cold. But that's the most important thing.
It takes a lot of energy to warm your body up, and you want to reserve that energy for cleansing. And Paulette, she brought up another really important issue that happens a lot when people cleanse. If you're feeling really great, sometimes if you're feeling great, they forget that your body is actually doing a lot of work. And I've seen many people that they'll expend energy doing other things because, they've had some days of feeling great, so they feel like, well, I can go and I can do this and be social and run errands and do some chores. And then the next day, they feel really exhausted or even later that night. It is really important. I know we're at the last day of the cleanse now, but this is just information for moving forward. It is really important to keep resting during the cleanse. Even if you feel like you can go out and do a whole ton of things, still keep your schedule light and easy and allow your body to rest.
The other thing I find when I'm doing a cleanse is in the morning, so I'm a little bit tired and sluggish. And if I ever have any kind of detox symptoms, they're going to be in the morning. And that's usually because by then I'm dehydrated. So really, really make a point first thing in the morning to drink lots of liquids. And during the day, you'll start to pick up. Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Shandell says, you say to have raw vegetables. What about steamed or sautéed in ghee or coconut oil with sesame seed salt?
Yes, sir.
She says, I will start eating again tomorrow as I started my cleanse on Sunday.
Okay, Nadia, what do you think?
Yeah, lightly steamed vegetables, that's fine.
Great. I think it's a good idea, too.
Okay, Catherine asks, is it normal to have a solid bowel movement on day five of the cleanse? I suffer from poor digestion and was advised not to take digestive enzymes during the cleanse as the detox would be sufficient.
You wouldn't want to take digestive enzymes during the cleanse because digestive enzymes are there to help you break down food specifically, and you're not eating. So that's true that you wouldn't need to take digestive enzymes. As far as the bowel movement, that's totally normal. Don't you agree, Nadia?
Yeah, completely. Whatever your body needs to eliminate, it'll
Yeah.
be completely fine with that. Your body knows what it's doing.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, Dan.
Amy asks a question which is probably relevant to quite a few people. I'm planning my Thanksgiving and Hanukkah celebration. I would like to know what is the best way to deal with this after the detox, as I think fried foods will not really sit well, and I'm not sure that all the traditional Thanksgiving food will sit well either.
Let me just say one thing before I turn it over to you. Now, there's actually a lot of the traditional the traditional Thanksgiving foods would work really well. Turkey and salad. You get turkey and salad, and maybe if you made a cauliflower mash instead of regular mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes, that would work really, really nice. But what do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I think so too. And I go to a lot of Thanksgiving dinners at other people's homes, and
Right.
I never have a problem finding things that are healthy and that my body loves at the table. There's always so many different varieties of dishes, and you can pick and choose among what's available and make a nice healthy plate. And then the
Yeah.
other part of that too is there's some of those things that you might have traditionally had that after you've broken the cleanse, your body might not want those as much. So it might be not so much a chore, but kind of a nice activity to be making some more healthier foods that your body will enjoy.
That's really the ideal that we try to strive for in everything that we're doing in the Gabriel Method, specifically with this detox. But everything that we're doing is get to the point where it's not a chore. It only becomes hard if you're fighting yourself. So just like you, Nadia, I mean, I go out socially all the time, and there's never a time when I can't eat something, because there's always going to be some sort of animal protein. There's always going to be a salad. There's always going to be veggies, and I can just keep loading up and loading up. And so I'm never going to go hungry. And it's not a problem, because I don't think, ooh, I'd like to have that, but maybe I shouldn't. It's because it's just not there anymore. And that's what we're all moving toward. And you guys have taken giant, giant, giant steps this week to get into that place. So be open to the fact that that sweet potato pie or whatever it is just not going to attract you the same way.
Okay, thank
Okay,
you.
then.
Joanne asks, I've been told for years that it is important to eat dairy for the calcium. Where do we get calcium from in the GM? I understand the cleanse is different, but I'm thinking ahead to when I get back to eating food. I've been drinking skim milk and eating fat-free yogurt.
David Wolf, the raw food guru, really bashes the calcium that's in milk. He basically says that the calcium's in a form that you can't really assimilate into your cells. So what happens is that calcium that you're drinking, because it's so denatured, in terms of the way, as opposed to foods that have calcium that you can absorb, it ends up going into your joints, causing premature calcification and inflammation. And then those inflammatory hormones then cause you to gain weight. So the calcium is actually working against you because you're not really absorbing that calcium. I get a lot of calcium from sesame seeds. I have tahini. Tahini is very high in sesame seeds. Seaweed is very, very high in sesame seeds. And I eat a lot of nori, and I eat a lot of tahini. And that combination, those two things are really, really good for giving you the type of calcium that your body can absorb. What do you think, Nadia?
Oh, I agree. I agree with David Wolf's take on it. And it's interesting that it's recommended to drink milk to get calcium in order to avoid osteoporosis. But if you look at the planet, the countries that intake the most dairy milk are the ones that have the highest incidence of osteoporosis. And so that just falls in line with what David Wolf was saying, what John, you were saying, that
Yeah.
the calcium that's in milk isn't available to your body, and it actually causes problems with deposits in the joints and things like that. So, yeah, I get.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, okay. I get my calcium just like you do from green leafy vegetables, from activated nuts and seeds, and sesame is a wonderful source of
Yeah.
calcium.
Yeah. And just to take it a little bit a step further, Dr. Ron Rosedale, who we've talked about before, who I have tremendous respect for, he says that in terms of bone density, it's not the calcium that makes your bones strong, it's the protein matrix. And the problem is, when we develop issues like insulin resistance, we're not able to absorb the right nutrients into the protein matrix into our bones, and so our bones become frail and weak. Not necessarily because of lack of calcium. He also says too much calcium is a problem, and one of the cellular processes as part of your metabolic process is to try to eliminate calcium from your cells. It's part of what your body does, because too much calcium can cause problems. So the whole calcium myth in general really needs to be scrutinized, and certainly the idea that getting it from milk is in any way, shape, or form beneficial.
Right, and you know, when you put milk inside your body, it's very acidic within your body, and your body is always trying to create a balance. So if your body receives some very acidic food, it needs to find something to buffer that. And sometimes what happens is your body will pull calcium elements from your bones in order to try and neutralize that acidic substance that's just
that's such a great point. So yeah, just to be clear, I want to elaborate on it just so people understand. So if your blood is acidic, and your body has to make it more alkaline, and the way your body makes it more alkaline is one of the ways is with calcium, and it actually pulls it out of your bones. So the very thing that we're drinking to make our bones more dense is actually making our bones more weak. It's so incredibly ironic.
Right.
It's a great point, Nadia. Really good. Okay. Jen?
That was great, by the way. Sherry says, I have the frozen leftovers from the broth. Is it okay to puree it and eat it as a soup in the post-cleansing?
I would think so. What do you think, Nadia?
Sure. And, you know, I would add some fresh vegetables to that as well so you can get the nutrients.
Yeah. Great. Good. Okay. Let's take one more question, Dan, and then we'll get into the webinar.
Okay, Helen says, day four for me, and I'm not drinking as much. Is that normal?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
As we've said all throughout the webinar, you find your own rhythm, and that's what you found, and it's perfect. Your body's going to tell you, your body's on board, it's going to tell you exactly what it needs.
Okay. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so we're on day five. As you know, we've had four webinars this week. We've got our concluding webinar now. Tomorrow we're going to have a wrap-up party, which is a little bit different than the webinars. It's not going to be a structured slideshow. It's going to be a live stream where you can see and talk to me and talk to both me and Nadia. I'm going to have some fruit and maybe a salad here to break the fast with. I'll break the fast with all of you that are watching. And you can actually talk to us. So you'll be able to call in and we can all talk on the phone together. So it's going to be one at a time, obviously. But it's going to be a little bit different. So you definitely don't want to miss the wrap-up party. But let's talk about today about the best way to break the cleanse. So, Nadia, let's talk about some of the most important points here.
Sure. So the key is to go very slow. Your body hasn't digested any food for several days. So as you're reintroducing food into your system, you want to do that in a very slow way to allow your digestive system to start working again efficiently. You want to allow your body to get all those digestive fluids flowing. And one of the ways to do that is when you start eating, you want to chew your food really, really well. So chewing is the act that signals your brain to send enzymes to your stomach. It's what your stomach is setting itself up for digestion. So you want to chew so that can happen. Chew really well. Chew more than you think you need to. And that will help to get all those digestive fluids flowing in your stomach.
Great. Okay.
And then you want to start with very simple foods, very simple, whole, fresh foods. And really, really important is to keep your portions small at first. So even though your eyes and your brain might want a lot of food, once you start eating, you'll find that your body actually isn't ready for a huge meal right now. So eat very small portions at first and just let your body tell you when you're full. And always keep your water intake high.
Very good. And you might find you might be hungry a half hour later or an hour later. Just listen to your body throughout the day.
Definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to talk a little bit more about that point about keeping your water intake high. So you've been having a lot of liquids for these 5 days, and all you've been intaking is liquids. A lot of times what happens is as soon as people start to eat, they forget to drink water. So you do really want to keep up your water intake on an empty stomach. You don't want to be drinking water with your foods, but on an empty stomach in between your meals, first thing in the morning, make sure you're drinking your water, and that's going to really help those bowel movements to start happening again and your digestive system to start working properly.
Right, right. Okay, so let's talk about what to eat.
Right, so as you move forward, the very first meal you have is a little bit different than what you're going to have as you move forward. But as you move forward, you're basically working with the same types of foods you had during the pre-cleanse. The Gabriel method has coined a term called the Big Three, which is a really, really great way to set up your plate. So the Big Three is making sure that you have live food, which are your fruits, your vegetables, your raw nuts and seeds. You want to have your high-quality protein and your omega-3s. If you have those on every plate you're having, you're setting yourself up for success.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's talk specifically about the first day, about what we're going to be, what's important, what do we need to do?
Okay, so the first day, raw fruits and vegetables are really great. Those are really high water content foods that'll be very easy to digest. So salads are really nice. Blended soups and smoothies are a really, really nice idea as well. So when you're making your salad, you know, you can add in all sorts of different fruits and vegetables, all your lettuces, your tomatoes, celery, cucumber, all of that can go into your salad. A smoothie can be something like papaya blended with coconut water. You can add some chia seeds in there. Or you can make a berry smoothie with a handful of greens and some berries and add some chia seeds into that. It's really nice. Water, again, really, really important. So make sure you're keeping up with water on day one and as you move forward.
Okay. And steamed vegetables also, as we talked about, we should probably mention that. Steamed vegetables are probably easier on the digestion, like a little bit of steamed cauliflower or broccoli or something like that, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, that's also very nice. And very nice and warming as well for those people that are in those cold climates.
Right. And then nuts, we have nuts and seeds there. You would say probably not the first meal, but maybe later in the day?
Yeah, the first meal make it very easy for your system. But then as you move forward, perhaps later on day one and certainly on day two, you can start adding in those soaked nuts and seeds.
Right. So if we want to be raw for day one, and then if meal one, we just want to be simple fruits and vegetables, either steamed or raw, and then raw for day one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a good rule of thumb. Good way to think of it.
All right. And going forward?
Yeah. So then as you move into day two, you're still trying to keep up your high amount of raw live foods, but now you can start adding in a little bit more protein. So you want to start with the lighter proteins first. So your activated nuts and seeds, so that's your nuts and seeds that are soaked. You want to start adding in your healthy omega-3s with each meal. You can start adding in things like eggs and fish in your diet. And you just, again, want to make sure that you're keeping your portions small. On day two of the cleanse, you're still transitioning out of the cleanse. Your body still is in a light cleanse mode. It hasn't transitioned back to fully eating big meals or larger meals. So you want to keep those portions small while that's happening. And then again, keep up your water intake in between your meals.
I would say the most important thing is just when you eat something, just chew it really slowly and give your stomach a chance to digest it, and it's going to communicate to you how much you need. If you eat a little bit too fast, you're going to get an upset stomach before you know it. It's happened to me so many times. Just chew your food really well, eat really slowly for the first day or two, and your body's going to tell you exactly how much it needs.
Yeah, give your body that space to communicate with you and give yourself that space to listen to those communications, and eating slow and chewing well will give you that space.
Sure. Okay, so day three and beyond.
Right, so then as we move forward, so by day three, you know, you've eaten already for a couple of days, so now you can start to introduce some heavier proteins. Again, good quality proteins, chicken, beef, pork, any of the things that you're sourcing really well, grass-fed, organic. Don't forget the big three that we talked about. Make sure that when you look down at your plate, you can see that you've covered all of those bases, the big three, the live foods, good quality protein, and the omega-3s.
Absolutely. Okay. And then let's talk about some simple post-cleanse meal ideas.
Right. So there's lots of ways. We've mentioned this in the past webinars. It's not about giving up taste. It's not about giving up your favorite things. It's about moving forward and learning how to make those really great tasting things in a healthy way. Excuse me. And there's lots of ways to do this. It's about learning new ways to do things. Salads are wonderful. So you can turn any meal into a salad, and I do this all the time.
Absolutely.
So any time I'm out anywhere or making a meal at home, I'm having my salad, and whatever else I'm having, I add it right into the salad bowl. So for example, if I'm having salmon or any sort of other grilled fish, I'll put that right into my salad bowl, and I'll cut it all up. So every bite I'm getting is a salad, and that also means that every salad I have is different. So I'm never getting bored with my salads. They're always different and unique.
Yeah, I'll go as far as to say, and this is true, I make a salad out of pizza, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
because I don't eat the base of the pizza. That's the dough that just my body just does not like that at all. But I'll get a pizza with lots of vegetables and chicken, and it'll have a little bit of cheese on it, which is fine. And I'll take the top off, put it on a big salad, and that's enormously satisfying for me.
Yeah,
I love that.
And it really, really assists your digestion as well to have those live foods with every meal.
Let's talk about that. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Sure. So restarting your digestion. So part of restarting your digestion is going to the bathroom and having solid bowel movements again. So this is something that your body should get to the point of doing within the first few days of eating. And you want to watch that. So if you don't have a bowel movement on day one, or if day two is you're in the middle of day two and you still haven't had one, try not to worry too much about it. If you worry and you stress about it, that can cause the problem. It's a vicious cycle, and that can cause the problem to, it can cause you to become more constipated the more stressed you are. So you want to relax with it. Know that your body will eliminate. It will. And you just need to give it time. You want to keep doing all of the things we've said. So chew your food well. Make sure you're having a lot of whole foods, so you're getting a lot of fiber into your diet. Massage your abdomen. Lots of salads, yeah. Massage your abdomen, like we talked about before, in a clockwise direction. Nice gentle massage just to stimulate peristalsis. And give your body some time. So give your body some time to eliminate on its own. If you've tried all of those things and now you're on day three and you still haven't had a bowel movement and you feel like you just want a little bit of extra help, that's when you can take an herbal supplement. So you can take a psyllium husk drink, like we've mentioned before, which is a teaspoon of psyllium husk powder in a glass of water. You drink that down and follow it with another glass of water. Senna tea. Senna is an herb that has a very strong laxative effect, and it is quite strong. So that's something that I only like to recommend after you've tried everything else. And then, of course, an enema. An enema is something that can really help to get things moving again after you've tried everything else and allowed your body to just sort of get there on its own first.
Yeah. There's a herbal supplement in Australia I just mentioned for people in Australia that's called Peritone, Perotone, by Blackmores. That's basically senna, peppermint, and a couple other herbs that stimulate the peristalsis of your colon. And that works really, really well. So if a day or two after the cleanse, you're finding that you're not having a movement, have some of those with some water the night before you go to sleep, and then the next day you should have a really nice movement. But you can look for similar things all over the world. If you just want it to be an herbal supplement that gently gets your, you know, stimulates digestion, a mild laxative, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a really, really important point about getting moving. Now, all through the cleanse, I've been saying don't do the GM fitness, don't exert yourself, don't sprint, don't do any muscle exercise, don't be out of breath. That is totally appropriate for the cleanse. A day or two days to 3 days after the cleanse, it is so, so important to do some variation of that within your exercise limitations and whatever exercise you're used to. It's so essential. You've broken down muscle. Your body, your metabolism has slowed down. This will restart your metabolism. So doing some sort of mild muscle building exercise and sprint type of work does two things. The muscle building exercise will regain the muscle that you've lost. It will also help your body become more sensitive to the fat regulating hormones, leptin and insulin. But sprinting also is a very primal thing. When you're sprinting, it's like you're reminding your body that you need to be thin in order to escape from a predator, so that it's going to shift in its set point and make you want to stay at this new weight because it's a safe weight for you. So that's the concept behind it, and it's really essential again within your specific exercise type of limitations and schedule. But the other thing about it is you don't want to do it for a long period of time because you're not ready to do your normal type of exercise. 10 minutes of this is all you really need. So, for example, if you did a minute or two of push-ups and you can do the push-ups on your knees so that, you know, if you can't do a full push-up, it's totally fine, but you're working all your muscles, you're working your the back of your muscles and your arms and your shoulders and your chest, and do that to the point where you can't do another one, maybe, you know, you do 10 reps or whatever it is, and that you feel that burn. If you did that a couple of times and then walked real fast up a hill, ran up a flight of stairs, whatever, again, whatever your exercise ability is, was on a stationary bike and sprinted for 30 seconds and then rested a minute and then sprinted again for 30 seconds. The whole exercise session only has to be 10 minutes long, but that's enough to get to kickstart your metabolism and shift your set point and remind your body that you need to be at this new thinner weight, that it's safe to be, that it's actually safer to be at this thin weight. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, from day three, once you're on your third day of eating, that's the time to start moving. And the GM fitness is one of the bonuses. So like John said, we've kind of discouraged using it throughout the cleanse, but day three, that's the time to make use of that bonus.
And make use of it. Go ahead.
And then make use of the visualization. So that's really, really important as well. So as you're going through this whole process, we've been encouraging you to do visualizations. And after you start eating again, keep up with those. Those are things that will really help you as you move forward to keep you balanced and to keep you in line with your goal.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. Let's talk about an important thing is that you invariably are going to lose some weight. Not everybody, but most people are going to lose some weight during the cleanse. What happens after that?
Yeah. So, we've mentioned this several times that weight loss isn't the goal of this cleanse, but certainly it's something that people will notice. It's a side effect of the cleanse that most people will be losing weight. So what's important to remember with that is don't become attached to that. So try to always remind yourself that this cleanse and breaking the cleanse, there's long-term effects for it. And know that after you break the cleanse and you start eating again, it is natural and normal to gain quite a lot of that weight back that you've lost during the cleanse. Try not to get discouraged with that. That's a normal part of cleansing. And this is, again, to set you up for the long term. It wasn't a crash diet. So try to remember that as you move forward and as you might start to gain some of that weight back during these few days of eating again.
Right, but all of the suggestions that we're making, the GM fitness and the way to break the fast, all these things are going to help you ensure that your body recovers in the best way possible from a weight perspective. Okay.
Right. These are all things to keep you balanced as you move forward.
Right. Now, so let's talk about friendly bacteria and digestive enzymes, because this is such an important point.
Yeah, definitely. So friendly bacteria is we mentioned probiotics in one of the questions we answered earlier. So that's probiotics are a method that you can take probiotics after the cleanse to help your body to rebalance that healthy gut flora. So what happens when you cleanse is some of that healthy gut flora will get washed away, and your body naturally has the ability to build that back up again. And what you want to do is support your body in doing that process. So the way to support your body is by having probiotics, having cultured food in your diet. That's things like the fermented cheese that John talked about, fermented soy products, things like sauerkraut, those types of foods, and then trying to avoid the processed packaged foods. Those are the things that damage your probiotics, that throw that gut flora into an unhealthy balance.
Yeah, and I would recommend that you take at least 2 probiotics capsules a day for the week after the cleanse.
Right.
Sure.
And another really nice thing you can do with probiotics, just to give you an extra probiotic boost, is those probiotic capsules that we're recommending that you take. If you open up 2 of those capsules and just pour it into a little bit of water, so maybe about 4 ounces of water, and let that sit outside of the fridge, cover it and let it sit for about 5 hours outside of the fridge, those probiotics will populate in the water, and then you can drink that water down. It doesn't taste like anything, really. It might taste slightly chalky, but it really just tastes like water, and it's just another way to get some concentrated probiotics into your system.
Okay, excellent. I think let's just bring Dan in and take a few more questions before we conclude the webinar.
Sure.
Okay. Dan,
hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. All right. Allison asks, can you speak about when to not give in regarding cravings versus when to listen to your body cravings?
Are we talking about during the cleanse, do you think, or she's talking about
I think she might be talking post-cleanse, yeah. I think she might be talking about after this cleanse is over.
So my general rule of thumb with just diet in general is that you want to be giving your body everything it needs, as much as it needs. And then if you're craving something afterwards and there's no way to get around it, you can't find a suitable substitute like raw chocolate or a healthy way to make pancakes or pizza or whatever it is, then that's it. Then you then have the cravings. But always first, make sure you're giving your body everything that it needs. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, make sure you're adding in the good things. So
yeah.
No matter what else you might be having throughout the day, get that nourishment into your body as well. And like John mentioned before, set yourself up for success. So in the morning, make sure you're having a really nice breakfast with some protein. You're having good quality nutrition throughout the day so that in the evening when cravings most of the time hit us, you'll have an easier time with them if you've been nourished and hydrated all day long.
Yeah, so things like super greens and spirulinas and chlorellas, you know, having these things in the morning or maybe in the afternoon to make sure you're getting really, really super good food, having a juice every once in a while, maybe in the morning or the afternoon, making sure you're having a salad with every meal, making sure there's chia seeds or flaxseed oil in your salads and meals, eating lots of fresh vegetables and fruits and salads, basically living as if you're on an island and there's all you can eat and as much as you want. And drinking lots of water. And then if you have cravings, then fine. But what you'll find is that you're going to have less and less cravings because you really are nourishing your body and improving your digestion. And if you're doing the visualizations, as Nadia said, and dealing with the stress and emotional aspects of it, then they're not going to be coming. The hunger and the junk food cravings are not going to be coming from that aspect of your metabolism either, or of your biology. And so that you're just going to find that the whole thing goes away. And that's really, I have found I found it in many areas, not just in weight loss, but in life in general, that sometimes when something troubles you, the best thing you can do is just disempower it. Don't give it energy. Don't give it thought. Don't give it focus. And that's worked really, really well for me and lots of other people in transitioning to a healthy diet. So, okay, you want to eat something like, for me, when I was losing weight and I was still eating a lot of chocolate and junk food, I made sure I had my smoothie in the morning that had flax seeds and protein, and I made sure I ate lots of salads. But if I wanted a chocolate covered almond or something like that, I just walked past the fridge and eat it. Excuse me. I wouldn't think twice about it. And so, if I had wanted a second one, I'd have a second one. And that was the end of it. I just never gave it any energy. I didn't say, oh, my God, it's a bad day. I might as well go get some ice cream and pizza. It's over. Screw it. I didn't do that anymore. I just saw it as chemicals going in and chemicals going out. And that's really the way to treat it. Give it no energy. Give it no focus. And disempower it, and it'll go away on its own.
I completely agree with that. Completely
yeah.
agree. Energy is a really, really important part of this whole dance. And how you talk to yourself, your self-talk, how the energy that you give things. So John said, you know, you take an action. For example, you eat a chocolate-covered almond. Okay, you've eaten it. But if you continue to give it energy and have regret and remorse and negative self-talk about it, you're adding so much extra stress that really isn't necessary. Just eat it,
yeah.
You've had it, you've made that choice, and now move on. And, you know, just nourish your body as much as you can as you do that.
That was the most important transition point for me when I just said, you know what, if whatever I want to eat, I'm going to eat, but I know that I need to nourish my body. I know I got to deal with some really serious issues in my life, stress-related, work-related, all those type of things. I started focusing on them instead of not having junk food. And when I did that, the junk food didn't go away immediately, but it went away over time. Within 6 months, it went away, and then
right.
It just kept getting better and better from there.
Right, and
yeah.
It really does carry over to all other aspects of your life. Once you start not giving energy to these types of things, you'll find that in all other things in your life, when you're having a meeting with your boss or you're stuck in traffic or someone cuts you off, you know, you'll learn to not give energy to those things in that way as well, and it just creates that stress-free life as you move forward. Stress is still there,
yeah.
But you can process it better and deal with it better and stay balanced as it comes to you.
It frees you up to be more creative, to find more creative solutions, to have more energy. And let's face it, when you have more energy, you don't need junk food, because the whole reason we need junk food is because we're not managing our energy properly. And we're not managing our energy properly because of stress causing junk food cravings, causing insulin resistance, causing our body to lose the ability to burn fat. And then we're exhausted all the time, causing extra weight. And so if it's freeing up more energy, then your body's not going to need the junk food, because that's really what we need is we need energy. And if we're tired, emotionally drained all the time, then we're going to look for it in some other way. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Lynn wants to know about fermented foods, using fermented foods instead of probiotic supplements.
Yes, great. If you can do
fermented,
it, great.
Yeah,
that's
the
ideal.
I agree.
Go ahead. Yeah, so fermented, there's a great site. We just did an interview in our member site with Donna Schwank from Cultured Food Life. So if you go to culturedfoodlife.com, she's got a great site with all kinds of free recipes on fermented and cultured foods. That is, she ferments everything, including meat. Her meat is raw and then fermented, and in doing that, it's protected. It's developed healthy bacteria. It's easy to digest. It's brilliant. What a way to live if you do that. That's the way we did it years ago before we had cold storage, and that's the way we used to live. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And again, it's looking back in time and getting that wisdom of how we used to do things in the past. Cultured foods are in every single culture around the globe. They have some sort of fermented or cultured food in their diet. And we've lost that now. So it's nice to bring that back.
Exactly.
For listeners, I'll just say that we'll put the link for Donna Schwenk's website in the comments section after the webinar is over.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Helen has asked regarding coconut yogurt. You don't mean flavored, do you? You just mean plain.
Yeah. So I mean plain coconut yogurt, and then you can flavor it yourself. Now I want to say one thing about Koyo. There's a coconut yogurt out there called Koyo, and when you really read the fine print, it's got tapioca starch. Which is so unnecessary to put in a yogurt, and is not a good thing at all for weight loss. It's got some xylitol, which a lot of people don't like these days. I still think it's fine, but the real issue on that is the tapioca starch. And one lady I know in the forum, I think we asked about, does coconut yogurt? I'm worried about cholesterol. Can I have coconut yogurt if I have cholesterol issues? Well, that type of oil, the medium chain saturated fat, is great for lowering cholesterol. It's that whole myth that eating saturated fat causes cholesterol is very outdated nutritionally, and is based on the fact that a lot of saturated fats are not healthy fats because they've been processed, because they've been cooked, or for various reasons. But that medium chain saturated fat that you find in coconut yogurt is great. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, completely agree. If you can flavor the yogurt yourself, all the better.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Nancy wants to know, when you use chia seeds in various recipes, those are dry. Should they be soaked before adding these to the recipes, or can you just add them in as is?
Yeah. What do you think, Nadia?
So I guess it depends on the recipe you're making. So for example, when you're making the chia porridge, you're adding dry chia seeds to your liquid. So for example, if you're using almond milk, you're adding dry chia seeds to the almond milk, and then you stir it up, and they take up the liquid from the almond milk. So most of the time you're adding, they're dry when you're adding them, but then they soak up the liquid from whatever you've added them to.
Yeah, and I'm gonna go on the record and say that I cheat with chia seeds, because I don't always like to soak them, and I don't think it's as bad an issue as like flax seeds, where they absolutely won't get digested. I just try to chew them really well when I don't soak them. So when I mix chia seeds with tahini, for example, I'm not gonna soak those, because I like the crunchy taste to it. And when I put it on my salads, it's the same. I just sort of make sure that I chew really, really well when I can. And you do not absorb all of them when you don't soak them. They become more absorbable when they're soaked or when they're ground, of course. But I kind of like the crunchy taste of the chia seeds, so I do cheat sometimes.
Well, honestly, I have as well.
Yeah, good. Everybody has to confess sooner or later to whether or not they cheated on their chia seeds. But that's just the reality of life sometimes. Sometimes you got to live on the edge, you know?
Right. I put those those chia seeds into the chocolates that I make sometimes, and it's nice to have that crunch inside the chocolate.
Exactly.
It's similar
to
the Rice Krispie crunch that you used to get in store-bought chocolates.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, Dan?
Okay. Teresa says, you say to take 2 probiotics a day, but there are different strengths. Mine contain 10 million good bacteria in it. Do I still have to take 2 each day?
The ones that we carry have 50 million friendly bacteria per capsule. It's not so quantity is great. But I just think to have them at different times of the day also to give your body an opportunity to absorb whatever the probiotic. It's ideal to have a probiotic that's got at least 10 different strains of bacteria. Some of them only have one or two. And you could have maybe two or three if the dose is each week, you could have two or three. But I think what's more important is that you're introducing them at different times, maybe one with a meal and one without, because there's different philosophies about how best to absorb friendly bacteria into your intestines. Some say to take it on an empty stomach so that it goes through your stomach to your intestines. Other people say that no, that they're going to get destroyed by the acid, to take it with food, and food protects it. There's different. Nobody really knows, but introducing them at different times, I think, is really important. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I agree. It's a good way to cover all the bases.
Yeah.
And then have those cultured foods as well. Those will give you probiotics in your diet.
Exactly.
Diane wants to know, she's going to a Thai restaurant, I think that might be this evening or tomorrow, her time. Her thoughts, she's a bit concerned that there'll be nothing there that will fit in with her post-cleanse progress.
There's always going to be something there. Yeah, first of all, they should have some tum, isn't that right, Nadia?
They will have some tum. Traditionally, some tum salad, when it's made in a traditional way, it has some other things in it, so they'll put sugar in it, and they make it with different fish oils and things like that. So that's just something you want to be aware of. And I would imagine that there will be things you can have. Oftentimes at Thai restaurant, they make really nice spring rolls that are wrapped in a rice paper. So I mean, not the rice paper might not be completely ideal, but you're getting a lot of whole foods in there.
Mm. That's a good one. You can always get your whatever meal you're getting. You can just ask them to steam it and put the sauce on the side, maybe a curry sauce made of coconut, and put the sauce on the side. There's a soup that I always get, Tom Yong. It's very spicy, but it's vegetables. You can have meat in it or not, but that would be a good soup to have first day. Depending on if you're having animal protein the first day, then you can add it, but otherwise have it without. But this tom yum soup wouldn't be a bad soup to have. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, that's a nice soup for sure. It's got a lot of really, really healthy herbs in it. Thai cuisine, that's one of the great things about Thai cuisine, is they use a lot of really healthy herbs in their food.
Okay, yeah. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thanks. Joanne and Marisol ask, just regarding the cauliflower mash recipe, they've asked if you could provide it. I just thought I'd say that we'll put that on the messenger members area as well later on.
Yeah.
But Marisol just says she just wants to double check. She heard you say something about being careful with the oil content. Was it the oil content or the type of oil with the post? If they decide to have the cauliflower mash as a post cleanse meal.
Right. So for the first meal of breaking the cleanse, the oil might be a little bit strong for your stomach, but it would be more the type of oil. So maybe if you used a ghee, that would not be too bad, or a coconut oil. What do you think, Aya?
Yeah, I agree. And you really don't need much oil. So as you move forward and you're playing with this recipe, you know, once you've eaten for a few days already, then you can experiment with adding different nuts and seeds and a higher quantity of oil. But at the very beginning, if you're having it for your first meal, keep the oil to just a minimum, and you really don't need much. The oil is just sort of a kind of binder to give you that a different feel, a different texture to the cauliflower mash, but you really don't need much at all, and it's mostly just cauliflower with some spices.
What if it was just cauliflower with a little bit of unsweetened almond milk with some spices instead of the oil just for the breaking the cleanse?
Yeah, that would be nice. And then the almond milk as well. You don't need much of it. And just cauliflower.
Just a splash of almond milk.
Right. And then sea salt and fresh ground black pepper and, you know, whatever other spices you want to add in there. Tamari, you mentioned.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay, thank you. When you, Joanne asks, when you eat turkey or chicken, should you eat the skin as well?
Okay, I would say absolutely. The skin's got lots of healthy fat in it that your body needs, and it's also has a very high satiety factor. So I'm not afraid of fat at all, as long as it's healthy fat. And I personally think that the fat in chicken is a nice fat. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I like to eat my foods whole and in as close as possible to their natural state. So I don't really like to pick foods apart and just eat one part of them. I think nature has designed things to work symbiotically together with everything that's in that thing. So, for example, a lot of people talk about eggs and they like to talk about separating the yolks from the whites. I like to eat them together. I think designed by nature, they have a symbiosis and they complement each other.
Hmm. Okay. Then.
Janice asks. She just loves your recipe videos and is asked if we could provide something for them to print out. So we'll work on that one. Marisol says, and you have covered this, but I thought maybe you could just reiterate. What about vitamin supplements? Is it okay during the cleanse and day one post cleanse to take vitamin C and multivitamins?
What do you think about that, Nadia?
I like to defer to whole food-based supplements. There's a lot of the multivitamin industry is huge, and there's a lot of them on the market that, in my opinion, are far less than the best. They're very synthesized, they're very processed, they're made in a laboratory, and they really don't resemble whole food at all. What I like to use are things like the Green Me Up Johnny as a supplement, or another green high-quality green powder that is whole food-based, and you can use that as a vitamin supplement that can give you a lot of supplemental nutrition. Things like that are what I like to turn to.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and plus eating a healthier diet like this, you're going to be getting what you need. And also, don't forget to have healthy salt. Don't scrimp on the healthy salt because it's going to have lots of trace minerals.
Right, and the seaweeds.
Yep. Yes. Okay, Dan?
Joanne asks, and I just thought maybe you could just reiterate not to be concerned with post-cleanse weight gain. She says, I'm on day 4 and have lost 12 pounds, which I'm very happy about. Will his weight come back on quickly as I start eating? 7 pounds pre-cleanse and 5 pounds cleanse. Can you suggest some methods for them not to be, for listeners to not be concerned about this weight gain?
Methods to not be concerned about the weight gain or methods
to get through so that it's not such a...
Right, so this is what we're talking about is this exact webinar is really geared toward that, well, health in general, but it's also, this is the best way to get off of a cleanse from a weight perspective. So you want to have just simple, raw, maybe not too high sugary raw the first day, and then go into a diet that's similar to the pre-cleanse diet day 2 and forward, and either day 2 or day 3 do the GM style fitness videos or exercise the way I just talked about earlier in the webinar where you're exercising quickly and intensely and doing a visualization while you do it, and do extra visualizations, any of the visualizations that we have there or any weight loss visualizations that we've provided for you, or even the get thin or get eaten visualizations that stimulate your desire to exercise. Doing those type of things will ensure that your body recovers from the fast in the best way possible and retains as much weight loss as possible. But that being said, if you're gonna not eat for 5 days, you're gonna lose weight. And once you start eating, some of that's gonna come back. It just is, and that's the reality. And I would say, as much as possible, leave it alone. Be healthy. Look long term. Look where you're gonna be in 6 months from now. Are you in 6 months from now, you're going to still be eating this way? Are you going to be doing the GM exercises, the visualizations, and doing the things that you need to do to detoxify on a daily basis? Are you going to be doing those things in 6 months from now? Because if you are, then your weight's going to fall off in a very nice gradual way, and you won't have to think about it. So try to stay as long term as possible on this. What do you say, Nadia?
Oh, great advice. And, you know, be aware of how you're talking to yourself. So when I hear these types of questions, I can see that as people move forward, I want people to just be aware of how you're talking to yourself. So that negative self-talk, again, is where the visualizations will help you with that. It's not something to beat yourself up about, but just be aware of it. So if you see yourself berating yourself because you've gained a little bit of weight after the cleanse, be aware that that type of talk is happening within your head. Know that it's not helpful. Don't give it any energy like we talked about before, but support yourself with the visualizations. Those are so important to keep you in line as you move forward and to help get that, to help teach you and remind you of a different way to talk to yourself in your mind.
Yeah, Great. Okay, then.
Well, Marisol's question sort of ties in with this as well. Could you address what we can do about emotional eating cravings? And how do you know if it's an emotional craving as opposed to something your body actually needs?
You know, when I look at emotional cravings, I always think there's always something underneath that. So is the emotion causing some sort of fear or stress or chemistry that's causing our body to crave food? There's usually always something behind that. The reason I know that is because I used to think my cravings were emotional based, and that I was just had to kind of like muscle through it. But all those cravings went away. So, you know, I didn't do anything specifically to change, to reprogram myself in terms of emotional eating. I did do things to work through the core issues of why I was having emotions in the first place, and I did a lot of things to strengthen and energize my body, but they all went away, so I wouldn't be too focused on it. I would, again, just like Nadia says, rather than focus on the negative, just stay focused on all these different positive things you can do, and don't try to analyze whether it's an emotional craving or a physical craving. Don't worry about that. If you need to eat something that's, you know, chocolate or whatever it is, just have it slowly. Try to have the highest quality. If you can get raw chocolate that's sweet and healthy, then you're not losing at all in that case. So always opt for something that's super healthy. And keep the focus on how can you add health, how can you add healthy habits, lifestyle habits, thoughts, and behaviors. Just keep the focus there, and all those things, the cravings will go away. Don't you agree, Nadia?
Oh, completely agree. Keep adding the good, and over time, the things that are less than the best will fall away naturally on their own. Concentrate on just keep adding in the good, and if you have stuff that, you know, is less than the best, just know that you're at the same time adding in good, nourishing things, and over time, those things will fall away.
Yeah, our minds and our bodies are so intimately intertwined that it's not worth really kind of trying to analyze too much whether the craving is coming from a mental, emotional, or physical thing. It's just better to keep focusing on stabilizing your blood sugar, nourishing your body, reducing stress, healing your digestion, detoxifying, dealing with emotional issues, all of these different things, and then you won't have to analyze cravings anymore. Okay?
Okay, Jen? Thank you. Troy Lynn says, overall I'm doing well, but I've had difficulty sleeping during the last two nights. Any recommendations? Also, I have experienced some hunger during the night, so I drank water. Do you have any recommendations for tonight?
Okay, Dan or Nadia?
Yeah, so again, sometimes sleep patterns get disrupted while you're cleansing, so you're not always going to get that kind of sleep that you're looking for. Get as much sleep as you can, for sure, and then just make sure that you're resting. So keep your body still, your mind still. Work with those visualizations. There's really nice nighttime visualizations that'll help calm your system down right as you're lying in bed and help you to fall into that nice place of sleep. So that's something really nice that you can work with to help you.
And one of the things I've been doing recently, today my body's been wanting more nourishment, and I've had super greens with a tablespoon of chia seeds, and I've been eating them slowly throughout the day, and it becomes a little bit like a gel. Just having a tablespoon of that really satisfies you. And then drinking some water with that, and just having stuff like that throughout the day. Just make sure you're getting more of what your body needs.
Thank you. There's a comment here from Teresa which I thought I would pass on. I'm really grateful for what I would call a consciousness shift that this webinar has been for me and everyone here. Right. So much positivity. I have not been able to follow every recommendation, but I know I will, and I'm very motivated to integrate more and more of all these recommended things from this webinar. So thank you very much to you and John.
Excellent.
And Nadia.
Beautiful.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Thanks.
Thank you for sharing that.
Okay.
Teresa asks, I've had problems breaking fast in the past as far as eating solid food again. Can we space the breaking of the fast over a week or so? Would it be okay to just add to the juices one solid meal the first few days until we add up to three solid meals?
Okay, so when you say one, three, I say listen to your body. That's what I say. So however many meals your body's going to want, your body is going to tell you. And the real beauty is that you've got a better communication with your body now. So one, two, three, there's nothing written in stone that says you have to have 3 meals a day. Sometimes I have 1 meal a day. Sometimes I have 5 or 6 meals a day. There's no, that your body, if you regain that communication with your body, which you have right now, you'll have exactly what you want. So if your body wants to eat once, twice, three times, you just really, really listen to your body. What do you think, Nadia?
Oh, I completely agree. A lot of times when I've broken cleanses, I only just have a couple bites and then I'm done. And then, you know, a short time later, maybe even half hour later, I'll want another couple bites. And that's how I go through the day. I'll eat several times, but each time it's just one bite or maybe two bites. And, you know, if you add all that up, that might just be the equivalent of what one person would consider one meal.
Right. And who's adding that up is your body. And I say let your body do the accounting. In other words, let your body add up how many bites it wants, how many meals it wants. You are going to want to, you will find you'll sit down to a big meal and you'll have one bite and it's just going to be enough for you. But that's only because of your digestion is not ready to process things that quickly. And then your body will keep telling you that it wants more and more. Just keep listening.
Right. And what's important is that you're trying to activate your digestion again. So digesting food is a really, really important part of life. Just as cleansing is important, it's just as important to start eating food again and digesting food. So whatever you are eating, you know, chew your food and get that digestion going. And then, like John said, listen to your body. And as your digestion becomes more ready to accept food, it will let you know.
Excellent. Yep. Okay.
Thank you. Marisol says, as we try to create a family effort towards this healthier eating lifestyle, can you please comment on milk for children? Can growing children get enough calcium needed from green leafy vegetables, nuts, and sesame seeds that Nadia mentions?
The issue of whether or not they're even getting the right calcium from milk is highly suspect anyway. But I'm sorry, go ahead. Continue with the question.
The other part is any other considerations to keep in mind for children and helping their little bodies avoid the intoxication elements we have been working so hard to eliminate this week.
Yeah, okay. Nadia, do you want to start?
Well, for very, very young children, the very best possible food for them, of course, is breast milk, and they're going to get absolutely everything they need from there. And then as they start to eat food, in my opinion, you're trying to feed them the best quality food possible, which is also what you're trying to feed yourself. So very, very natural food, food that's, you know, in its as close as possible to its natural state, high quality. If you're having proteins, making sure that they're organic and grass-fed, same with your vegetables, nuts and seeds, if you're having them, making sure that they're activated so they're easy on their little digestive systems, giving them variety and listening to what they tell you. Children, once they start to be able to communicate with you, they will be able to tell you what they want and what they need. So if you bring them to the produce section of the grocery store, oftentimes children will resonate towards the exact food that their body needs at that time.
Yeah. I would also say if you have access to raw milk, that is a great thing for kids, for sure. One really good way to get nutrients into kids is with healthy smoothies. So instead of using sugar, using coconut palm sugar. Instead of using pasteurized milk, using maybe a nut and seed milks. Putting lots of fruits and vegetables raw. Instead of using chocolate syrup, using raw cacao. You can put a little bit of healthy protein powder in there. You can put some chia seeds in there. There's lots of ways to sneak nutrients into a smoothie. Also, making your own ice cream out of coconut milk, for example, with coconut palm sugar, and then also putting some chia seeds in that, and maybe some other healthy nuts and seeds into the ice cream, and then sweetening, and then using raw cacao, making a chocolate coconut ice cream that's super, super healthy. It doesn't cause inflammation. It doesn't cause digestive problems. It's got real nutrients in it. It's another really good way to do it. So there's lots of ways to be creative. Making a pizza. So what we sometimes do is we'll use a base, instead of the chia bran, you can use just like an egg base. Just make a crepe out of egg. Just basically egg, scrambled egg and water. Mix it up. Turn it. Flip it. Make it about the size of your pan, and then flip it. Put it down, and let your kid design his own pizza with lots of vegetables and healthy pasta sauces and a healthier cheese. They might make a smiley face with the peppers and the mushroom, or they might use the mushrooms for an ears or something like that. When they're involved in that process, they're going to be much more likely to eat the foods. is also a really great way, is to have your kids involved in growing the food. If you have a garden, they're so excited when they plant a seed and it comes up and they get to water it, and then all of a sudden it's something that they made, they're going to eat that. Even if they don't like the taste initially, because they're so proud of it. If you don't have a garden, you can simply make sprouts or take a potted plant and grow lettuce in a potted plant in your house. So these are ways to get your kids involved in health that work really well.
That is such a good point about getting them involved. Whenever we've had children around, they just love to push the buttons on the blender to make the smoothies or to put the things in the juicer.
Yeah,
that's
they'll take the chia seeds. Absolutely. They'll take the chia seeds out of it, and they know that goes in the smoothie. They'll put it in. They don't know if it's good or bad. And, we have a friend, her little girl, when she sits down to eat, if there's not a salad at the table, she'll say, "Mom, where's the salad?" She just learned that a meal's got a salad. It's one of the things a meal has, a salad. She just knows that. And the other thing, I've been working with a pediatrician who specializes in childhood obesity in the States, and she brings up a point. She says that kids will say that they don't like something, and then we get in our head, "Oh, she doesn't like broccoli." And studies have shown that if you continue to offer the kid the food, it takes between 10 to 30 times, and then after 10 to 20 times, they start eating it if they say they don't like it. And after 30 times, if you don't give it to them, they ask for it. So always serve whatever you're going to eat yourself. Serve it to them, and then if they don't eat it, you can eat it. But don't, just because they say I don't like it, don't stop yourself out there, because you're going to end up with nothing but macaroni and cheese if you listen to a 2-year-old who says I don't like this, I don't like that. I know that because I've been down that road. But this works really well. Just keep serving healthy foods. Okay, Dan.
Joanna asks, what is the issue with xylitol? I bought some and I really like it.
I like it too. It's just getting a bad rap because somebody put out an article that says the processing of it is highly suspect. And I read the article, and the processing of it isn't any more suspect than any other processed sugar. Basically, the biggest complaint was that they're using, some manufacturers use GMO corn, so there's a genetically modified component. The sugar is hydrogenated, but all processed sugar is hydrogenated. That's just the reality of processing sugar. It uses something called a nickel extraction, which is nickel is a heavy metal, but the sugar doesn't get, it only acts as a catalyst, so the sugar doesn't actually get heavy metal on it. It just helps the processing of it. So it's a processed sugar. One of the things on the article that I read said that it was fermenting in your stomach and that was bad for you. That's, or in your intestines. That's not necessarily bad for you at all. It might cause a little bit of bloating, but the fermenting process in and of itself, if it's healthy bacteria that it's fermenting, then that's not a bad thing. So the article was misleading and scary, but it's been circulating all over the internet, and it's not the xylitol itself, it's just the processing. I think xylitol in small quantities is fine. I'd say mix it with coconut palm sugar and stevia in addition, and not just have that, and you should be okay. Okay, Dan?
Okay, thank you. Alison says, I really appreciate the way you answered my question regarding cravings, but I'm also wondering about cravings before the cleanse is over. All this talk of food is making me want to eat now.
Sure. Go for the super greens. If you have Green Me Up Johnny, go for the super greens with the chia seeds in it. Make a big thing of it so that the longer it sits, the more the chia seeds start to dissolve in it, and it becomes a very gelatinous. And when you have it, it sits in your stomach. It feels really good.
The tea with coconut oil.
And if you need to put a little bit of coconut palm sugar and some cinnamon in it for taste, then you've got like a nice healthy kind of pudding there.
Okay, thank you. Tandy's asked if you could clear up some confusion. I initially understood John to say no exercise during the cleanse, as we're breaking down muscle, and also because exercise other than gentle movement would lead to protein cravings. But then on the website, it was posted that if we felt like it, we could go dancing, do some jogging, etc. For my next cleanse, what is the correct approach during the cleanse?
Yeah, so dancing, jogging, I would say no to jogging. If it says that on there, we probably should change that. No to anything that's going to break down muscle fiber. Basically, the rule is if you're breathing heavy, or if there's any muscle fiber breakdown in the form of swelling, your muscles starting to pump up or soreness, or muscle fatigue, that's not something you want to do during a cleanse at all. But you can do dancing that's real light dancing, and you can do walking and things like that. And you can even do bike riding, as long as you're not pushing up a hill and you're just coasting mostly, then that's totally fine.
Okay, thank you. Are any of the almond milks on the supermarket shelves any good, or are they all overprocessed?
Okay, so the first thing you want to look at is the sweetness of it. Some of them are unsweetened, some aren't. If you're getting an almond milk from the store, it needs to be unsweetened. As far as the processing, what do you think, Nadia?
Almond milk is very easy to make at home, so I would encourage people to give it a try. You might be surprised how easy it is. And then, you know, if you are looking to something from the store, like John said, look at the ingredients. Make sure that you're getting one that doesn't have a whole bunch of added flavorings and different things added to it. You want to get it as pure as possible.
Okay. All right, Dan, I think that's all the questions we have time for right now. We will answer over the next 24 hours. We'll answer any questions that we weren't able to answer on the webinar. So, Dan, thanks very much for that.
Thank you.
Okay. And, Nadia, I want to finish up with just some last-minute tips about keeping it simple, delicious, and fun.
Right. So as you move forward, eating is a wonderful experience. We all know that. There's a lot of joy involved with eating. And as you move forward, it's about abundance, and you want to be able to eat as much as you want, whenever you want it. You just want to be having really, really healthy foods. So if you're having really healthy, high-quality foods, it doesn't matter how much you're eating. Just eat until your body is satisfied. And get in the habit of making foods that you love. Learn how to make the things that you love. Learn how to make them in a healthy way, and this is going to set you up for success. So John talks about pizza a lot. You know, if pizza is one of your favorite foods, there's so many ways that you can make that in a really healthy way, in a really fun way. You can get the kids and the family involved in making it, and you don't have to lose out on that pizza taste. You can still have it. You just get all the nutrients involved as well, and none of the toxins that can be in just a standard pizza.
Yeah, I love that. That was the basis for our recipe book, Super Delicious, Super Nutritious, we call it, when you're not sacrificing taste at all. You're using healthy fats as opposed to unhealthy fats, healthy sugars, healthy flours, and in all these different ways, you're not sacrificing taste, but you're getting nourishment instead of chemical waste. So that to me is an art, and it's something that I always look to constantly refine, and it's an exciting process, and you learn different things from people. You pick up tips, you share tips, and it's really exciting once you go down that road.
It really is, and it certainly is. There's so much inspiration everywhere, and it really doesn't have to be complicated. It's not like you have to go to a cuisine school to learn how to do this. Just learn, get inspired by other people's ideas and recipes. Start playing with them in your kitchen, and before you know it, you'll be creating brand new recipes of your own that are simple but taste really, really great.
Right, right. Okay. Any other?
Be really proud of what you've done. It's the last day of the cleanse today, and everyone that has engaged in this has done such a great job. You've given your body such a wonderful gift. You know, you've gotten yourself to a place where you've been able to release a lot of toxins, and now you're going to start eating again. And as you start eating, you know, pay attention to what your body is telling you, to how things taste. Know that you'll most likely be finding that whole natural foods taste better. Like John says, run with that, go with it. Keep that, you know, keep the gifts that the cleanse has given you, keep those going as you move forward. And, you know, just be very, have fun with it. Enjoy it. Yeah. This is about enjoyment, and, you know, enjoy the energy that you have, enjoy the clarity and the focus.
Yeah, it's like you've been given a new body in a sense, and there's just so many opportunities right now. You've done an enormous, enormous job, and this is an opportunity for you to really, really run in such a direction toward positive health that could create such an amazing momentum. And if you look at what would be like 6 months or a year or 5 years down the road, as you've been nourishing your body as opposed to going down the road that you used to go down, you're going to be two different people. So it is really exciting. You guys, everyone has done such a phenomenal job. I have loved participating with you in this. And I very much look forward to tomorrow when we break the cleanse together. I'll have some salad here or something to break the cleanse. You might want to, if your time zone's correct, we could break the cleanse together. Also, it's going to be a live stream, so you'll be able to see me. You'll be able to talk to me and Nadia. and call in and ask questions. So I look forward to speaking with you tomorrow. Have an awesome day, awesome, easy day. Be very gentle with yourself and congratulate yourself for doing an incredible, incredible job. Don't you agree, Nadia?
Oh, definitely. Big congratulations are well-deserved all around.
Yeah.
And tomorrow will be really, really fun. I look forward to being with you all tomorrow.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Nadia.
Thank you.
As always, your wisdom is just so, and support is just so greatly appreciated. I really can't tell you how happy I am we've done this with you. You're a true wealth of knowledge.
It was my pleasure to be involved with this. Thank you so much. It was really my pleasure. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed being here. And I thank you as well, John, for putting this together and for being such an inspiration to everyone.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Okay, so we'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks also to Aaron and to Dan and to Shan and everybody else that's helped us. And have a wonderful day, everyone. Thanks very much. Take care.